Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations with the intention of demystifying, destigmatizing, and desensitizing what really gets talked about behind the closed doors of the therapy room.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Selkin.
And we're seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. So join us as we dive into the ways that therapy can be connecting not only to yourself, but also to those around you. Welcome back to another episode of Cheaper Than Therapy. So today we're talking to Lisa, and Lisa actually wrote in saying that she's struggling accepting where she's at in her life. And you specifically said physically and metaphorically. Sounds like you got divorced last year. You're living back at your mom's at 31, and that you're trying to approach dating in a more mindful way. And it's a struggle, right? Mm. As it is for so many of us. And the question I love that you kind of put at the end of it was, am I uninterested or am I just not used to this type of dating? Mm. I love.
I'm like, I could not be more curious.
I know. Why don't you take us through, like, where are you at right now? So you're at mom's house, like you are actively dating. Just kind of give us a synopsis of what's coming up for you in this moment.
Yeah. It kind of goes and ebbs and flows. Like there'll be like a week or even days go by and I feel fine. And then all of a sudden it's just kind of like this anxiety builds up with it, this expectation that I need to be in a certain place or I need to be doing something on top of dating and recovering from the last relationship. I've also been trying to buy a house. So then it's this, well, I should be living on my own by now. And I'm only living to a certain degree because I have a shared space and I feel like I need to be on my own to accelerate where I'm at. Cause I feel like I've done a lot of recovery from where I was before, but it just seems like I can only do so much because I don't have my own space. I'm still sharing it with family. And I don't have that independence that I truly desire.
Hmm. I want to ask you, because you've said this a couple times, where I was at before, where were you at before?
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Well, 1 year ago, I had separated from my ex-husband. And 2 years ago, we were living together in Kansas City. And it was really rough. Like I was going through depression and anxiety. And I was going through all these feelings, but I didn't know why I was feeling that. And then later that year, we separated and then got divorced last year. So where I was before was in a very unhappy place, but I didn't know what were the things in my life that were making me unhappy. So having done a lot of reflection over that time, especially the last year, and being able to recover from that relationship, and I feel like I've been able to do a lot of work and identify what it is that I need to feel better and kind of bring out the joy in my life and not feel like that ever again.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I feel like whenever I
hear about a marriage that has ended and that there was like anxiety or depression that I was experiencing, or that I felt a lot of, you know, struggle. A lot of times I think that was sort of my internal GPS telling me that mm-hmm. something about this relationship wasn't right for me. Right. And I don't know, I feel like I hear that a little bit as you're talking about it. And I wonder what sort of like relief you felt in this period of time. What are some of the takeaways or the things that I understand now that I didn't understand while I was in the midst of it?
I think I understand more to listen to my body and even my gut a little bit more, because I think that there were some signs of things that were wrong from, we were together for 10 years. So even from 10 years ago, there were just little things that I just kept moving forward with it, even though in some ways it was like this gut feeling that was kind of telling me like, well, whoa, like, you know, don't proceed. But I didn't know to listen to that. So I feel like I kind of have a better understanding of how to listen to that gut feeling more. And then also, I think as I was beginning to do some work near the end of the relationship, I realized that there were things that it wasn't supposed to be that way.
Yeah. It's interesting, Lisa, what you just said about, you know, there were feelings I had in my body that indicated that this wasn't right, but I just kept going and I just kept moving forward. And a little bit, I hear an instinct or desire to keep moving forward with life right now.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering about, what it would feel like to use this as an opportunity to sort of drop into that practice of being where my feet are, being in this moment without, you know, the ability to know what forward momentum is going to look like, feel like, what things are going to look like, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months from now. This is a transitional period for you, it sounds like. And I hear a little bit of resistance to being in what, you know, V always talks about is this liminal space that we're in.
Like wanting to rush through it, right? Like,
yeah.
This part's uncomfortable. I don't know what this is. I can't put words to it. I need to rush through it. Like there's discomfort here that I need to get over quickly. And the fact that I'm feeling this discomfort, or the fact that I'm feeling this, I don't know, or this stuckness, somehow means that I'm failing mm-hmm. at life. Versus actually, this is the time that you're actually learning the most.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know that's not like a tangible, like, right. Poof, do this thing and you'll feel better. But, you know, that's kind of what we've seen so many times just in our life school personally, but also just working with so many people over the years. It's like, this is what they say when you're in between. When you're betwixt in between, when you're in this liminal place, it is actually the hardest place to be in. And this is where the lessons and the growth actually take place.
Yeah. Yes. And that sounds about right. That's me trying to just rush through it and, you know, not feel uncomfortable. I think that that's a pattern that I have, like whether it's a feeling of anxiety or a feeling that I have, and it's like, okay, I got to get over this so that I can feel better and not to linger on with this feeling of whatever the negative emotion may be. But yeah, I've been trying to do that. And I think that that's been, I did it really well last year, whenever I first separated from my ex-husband, and it just felt like I couldn't see anything into the future. I'm a very futuristic person and always planning. And for the first time in my life, I couldn't see past like a week ahead. It was also the beginning of a pandemic, so that was contributing to it as well. But it was like, dang, like I can only live my life a few days at a time, because I can't even see what 6 months from now looks like. So now it's kind of like, you know, I live in Arizona, so the pandemic kind of been winding down for a while, but people are resuming back to their life and everything's kind of normal around me. And it feels like I'm still stuck in a place that no one else is in, and I'm still dealing with stuff. And so I just kind of go in each day, kind of live the best that there's every now and again, when it just gets to me, it's like I can't get out.
Yeah, I want to ask, like, you made mention of that time period, which for a lot of us was similar, right? Like, we had no idea what tomorrow was going to look like, let alone a week or a month from now. When you first mentioned that point in your life, I heard some, like, positive, I don't know, there was some like positive energy around like, oh, for the first time in my life, I was living in the moment and I can only see 2 days ahead of me. And then as you kept talking, it flipped to like a negative where it's like, and now I'm still in that place and nobody else is. And my insides are going, hold on to that. That's amazing. Don't let it go. But I don't know. How does that feel to hear me say that?
It's a good reminder to myself because I know that that's something that I need to do because I tend to always be in the future and not be as present. So I'm actively trying to do that and be grateful for the moments that bring me joy right now and not think so much into the future. But I do tend to get caught up on this wheel of like, got to keep going and like, what's next, what's next? So I think that that's just a default mentality that I have within that I kind of have to work again.
Yeah. And I mean, you're not alone in that, Lisa, right? Like we are a society that wants us to move towards the destination, towards the, like, you know, the finished result. Like that is what is so conditioned into us. And so it makes a lot of sense to me as I hear you say, you know, I see everybody else sort of in this mode of like, let's get back to normal. Let's, you know, on to the next thing, that I start to feel like I'm losing some of what I had dropped into in this last year, which is like really being present with the unknown and the space of taking time for myself to discover. And I think it is a practice to sort of go against the grain of what society teaches us we need to do and be, because I think a lot of times that is the initial thing that for so many of us, I'll raise my hand on that one as well, sort of got us caught up in this, this pattern of detaching from ourselves, self-abandoning, and doing the thing we're supposed to do versus the thing that actually feels true for me. Is this is what society has conditioned me to believe I need to be doing versus me really taking the time to slow down and tap into truth, right?
Yeah. And the other thing I've discovered too is that I put a lot of pressure on myself to be productive and to, you know, anything that I put value on, I have to be like good at it. And so that kind of goes with the taking a step back and accepting where I am, but then also recognize like, okay, we don't have to evaluate each day by how much we get done in that. And so it's all sort of new to me to do this. So if you have any steps on things I can actively think about or what I should do to remember that each day, because that's been a challenge for me, because like usually it'll get to like 8 p.m. and I'm like, well, what did I accomplish today? Or I did not get nearly as much done as I thought I was going to.
Productivity as a measure of worth, right?
Yeah.
And also even just in you asking, what can I do to make this better? And I'm like, well,
help me fix that, guys. Yeah, you know, I feel like I am such a Capricorn energy, and I like had a moment of this morning, you know, like that I have to make it a practice to remind myself that it is okay to be, and that I am not what I am accomplishing. I am not what I am doing. And that a lot of times the most profound work I can do for myself is surrendering the need to accomplish something. You know, Vanessa and I come from a depth psychology background. So a lot of what that stirs up for me as I hear you say that is sort of like, I want you to sort of zoom out on your life a little bit, Lisa, and think about in these moments, like, what can I tap into in terms of existential principles, maybe spiritual principles? I don't know, what kind of like spiritual practices or beliefs you have, but I find that in those moments that I am like really needing to do something, to feel like I need to have like a tangible result that I am being productive, that is when I am most disconnected from the higher truths that I know about life. And I'm like really caught up in the physical realm versus like when I am in this like spiritual space of like the bigger things I believe, like what will matter when I am at the end of my life, which is like, you know, the legacy of like how I treated people and how I showed up in the world and, you know, the presence that I had and the relationships that mattered the most to me. Those are the times when I need to sort of zoom out and say, but okay, but like big picture of my life, what matters most to me, you know? How does that feel?
That's a good way of looking at it. Cause I think that it's, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the grind of daily life, but not think about that bigger picture of what's most important.
Yeah. And sometimes thinking about that bigger picture comes to us in the moments of, so like an example, because I find I'm very similar to you in this, and what you're describing, Lisa. So it's like, if I get myself into a situation where I'm doing, and I'm accomplishing, and I'm not feeling like I'm doing enough, which leads to me not feeling like I am enough. If I can catch myself in that, it doesn't matter actually what is on my plate that needs to be accomplished. But in that catching of myself in that exact moment, if I can just push back away from my computer, pause whatever's going on, slip on some shoes, and take a 5-minute walk outside and a mindful walk. So walking through the grass, you know, if it's available, even like walking barefoot in the grass, noticing the way the trees are blowing in the wind, noticing the way the light is actually filtering through the leaves, smelling the smell of spring in the air, maybe hearing the birds, you know, a couple trees away, like getting very, very present and mindful with what's happening in this moment around you. That in itself is actually a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be me pulling back and saying like, well, what's going on with God, right? Like it's like sometimes, I mean, I'm minimizing, but you know, like sometimes
no, I'm
I
think just it's laughing hard. Like, what is going on?
What is going on with God? I think it's hard sometimes, like that doesn't feel tangible to me. And so for me, I need to like change environment. I need to like get really mindful. I need to be in my body and I need to be like with what's going on around me in nature in particular. Or for me, sometimes it can be with my kid, right? Like really getting on the floor with her. Absolutely. Sitting down and saying like, we're going to play for 5 minutes, like super connected, but it's really just shaking it up. It's like, you're so in your head in that moment that you need to like shake it off and reconnect to what's bigger.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I think those are the tangible ways that we drop into like higher S self, and spirit and source. And yeah, like, you know, I love to say like, sometimes that can be like mindfully taking a shower, like going in, like completely allowing myself to feel the drops of the water, the sensation, the temperature.
Smell of the soap.
Absolutely. But whatever brings you back into that state that Vanessa's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's very therapeutic and I have gotten to do a lot more walking in just the middle of the day and taking advantage of that over the last year and being in a place where it's always nice that outside, so I have that advantage and going on some hikes too, but I like that a lot.
Yeah, I want to put words to the fact that if you, it sounds like you are, I don't want to say if, but being the kind of person that goes, does, you are not going to allow your life to pass by and live at your mom's house forever. It's just not going to happen. Like you have to have faith in the fact that that's just not who you are. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if you can't crowbar it into existence in this moment, it doesn't mean that it's going to be your forever. It just means that it's what's going on in this moment. And really this idea of pulling back and looking at it from like a macro lens, there are greater things at play that you are not privy to necessarily yet. That you might be being called to look at and strengthen and become more aware of before that block can be released so that you can move into the next tangible thing in your life. And sometimes when we get so caught up in like, I'm just using the thing with your, you know, living at your mom's house, like I have to live on my own. Like, this is ridiculous. I'm stuck. We're so caught in that loop that we're missing the rest of it. And until we see the rest of it, we actually can't get out of that loop. Does that make sense? So it's like you're cutting your nose off to spite your face, like my mom would say.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's really challenging me to take a step back too, because I think December this year will be 2 years of me living with her. And in my head, I'm like, 2 years, like you're living with your mom for 2 years, like you got to get out. So there's like that internal voice like back there just telling you that. But I see exactly what you're saying, to just take a step back and, you know, just keep working through things so I don't miss anything and just keep going on that vicious cycle.
Yeah, because, you know, I find a lot of times that I should be somewhere other than where I am is a statement that's based on what I'm afraid of, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever we're in the space of fear, what I believe we do, Lisa, is we start to block our chi, right? Which is like our life force, our intuition, our imaginal creative abilities, and all of the energy that could come to us, you know, the inspiration or the ways that I would get out of my mom's house, I'm blocking all that energy because I'm just so like crippled and sort of like in the constriction space of fear. So if I, you know, to the point that Vanessa was making, sort of say, this is this season of my life. Mm-hmm. This is not what this will be forever, but this is where I am right now. Can I be in deep acceptance of this being where it is right now? Have faith that, you know, when it is the right time, I will be on the next steps of my journey, living where, you know, I'm supposed to be living next, but just in that space of surrender so that I can like start to be in the rhythm, the vibration of trust a little bit to me.
Yeah. Because surrender, by the way, is not an inactive thing. It's not a state of being inactive. Surrender is actually very active. And I'm sure, you know, very difficult. Right. So for, I think for a lot of us that are like, do, the idea of surrender feels like, but I'm not doing. It's like, no, actually, you're actually doing a lot more than you realize.
Yeah. The whole concept of letting go, as you can imagine, is a challenge for me. But I've been learning a lot about that and trying to apply that and just let go and, you know, not let that bother me. And so I think I can apply that here too.
Or let it bother you and then notice that it's bothering you.
Yeah.
Because if it bothers you, that's your truth. And that's what's happening in that moment. And if we try to not let it bother us, we're actually still not living with what's happening. We're not living in the truth of what's going on. That's not surrendering, actually.
Yeah. I'm glad you caught that, V, because I think a lot of times when we speak about like surrendering to what is, or like letting, like, people hear us, not people, but like, and even we, like, it will feel like what we're saying is stop allowing yourself to be, just don't be bothered by it, or like, don't feel what you feel. And of course, like, I can feel frustrated. I can feel sad. I can feel like I long for, something different than what is. I get to feel all those feelings. And what is the conversation I'm having with myself around it, right? Like, can I be in the practice of surrender?
So how does surrendering come into play when it comes to dating?
Oh, so glad you asked. I was like, can we circle back to that dating conversation, Lisa? You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about it as Vanessa was talking, and I was thinking how many of those same principles apply, right? And listen, not everybody has the same point of view. Some people think you need to be like making checklists and, you know, on all the apps with like a certain number of hours each day that you're like circulating, and, you know, to each their own. To me, what I believe is same principles apply, right? Like, I drop into the space of trust that the right person is coming into my life. And if I just sort of allow myself to be as present as possible in my life without expectations of what should be happening in my love life, and that, is that the practice, that things start to come, right? And I think that, you know, like when I'm on dates, you know, you were speaking about like starting to date a little bit, can I really be present with what's happening versus what this should be, right? Like, I should have a certain type of person in my life. This person isn't that, so cross them off the list, right? Or this is the type of person I'm looking for. I don't know if they're that, so I don't even know if I'm going to say yes to the date, right? Like, can I be open to the universe is bringing me whatever I need, and I can't wait to see what the universe brings. Feels very different than I should have this figured out by now. I'm going to be alone forever if I don't, you know, do X, Y, and Z. But you tell us, like, how does that feel, and what is dating feeling like for you right now?
Similarly, I feel a little anxious about that, but I feel like I've been doing better than I had done before. Let's see, I was on dating apps at the end of last year, but then I took myself off because I just felt like it wasn't becoming a joyful activity for me. So go on the apps and, you know, see what was out there. And I had felt like some of the men that I was meeting were not really, like, I guess the quality of men that I want. And so I took myself off and I was starting to apply a more mindful approach and just, you know, continue focusing on me. And I've only been on like two dates, I think, with the same guy, and then recently. But before that, I hadn't been on a date since November. So there, it's been very, very few and far between. but with the individual that I'm sort of talking to, seeing right now, he's not anything I would have ever expected me to be interested in, or like someone like that to come into my life. He just expressed interest. And so I was like, okay, let's go forward. Like, let's see what this is about. Because I wanted to explore and like, you know, kind of feel this out and not just like rule it out from like one thing that I know about him and think that that wasn't, okay, he's not the one because of this. So he's actually 14 years older than me. He's a dad of two girls. And he's a different race than me. So that was like something completely different. I've never dated someone that looks like him before. So I'm just kind of exploring it and taking it to see where it goes. But I just don't know at what point do I know, like, do I keep going with this or not? I was thinking about this, that question over the weekend. And my thought was like, well, if I no longer am looking forward to like talking to him or seeing him, then I think that's a sign to me to take a step back. Mm-hmm. But open to your thoughts.
All right. I'm going to offer you my dating mantra, Lisa. Yes, this is my mantra with dating. Are you ready? Zero expectations, stay as present as possible, period. That is what I think, like, over and over and over again we can do in the realm of dating. And I think as I hear you say that, I want to offer, like, yes, you will know when you know. You have the ability to continue to drop into how this feels to me right now versus projecting into the future what this might be, which is, you know, again, leaving this moment. So zero expectations. Can I be as present as possible?
And also that last question that you asked, I think is actually a really spot on question to gauge for yourself. Like, do I still look forward to this? You know, I used to ask something similar in my relationship when in the very beginning, like he was struggling with being present. And I would always say, in this moment in my body, I am happy. I'm happy to be around you. I'm enjoying my time with you. I'm curious, like I'm enjoying getting to know you. And to me, that's enough in this moment to stay and be present, right? It's like presence to be presence. It's like, that's enough of a reason. And so I actually love that that is what you put out there for yourself as kind of a flag, right? Or like a marker, because I think that's it. I think that's mindful dating. I think it's exactly what you're like, what does this look like? It looks like that. And so you have the answers, mm-hmm. like, you know what it looks like, you know what it feels like, you know what it sounds like. And so if this is your reminder, like you just said it, that is mindful dating. Mm. You have the answers.
I think I get frustrated too with the having to take the time to figure out the answers on my own.
Yeah.
And sit with it and learn it. I think that's a new practice for me to have.
I think what it is it's more of a practice of, you actually do know the answers, but your thinking gets in the way of you knowing the answers. Right? Yeah. So that as we wrap up, I want to remind you, like, that is going to be your work. Get out of your head, get into your body. You know, get out of the house. Like, when you find yourself wrapped up in these very like cognitive places, shake it up. Shake it up, because in your body, you know, you have a knowing. Mm-hmm. Your head is telling you otherwise. It gets just too loud and noisy. So I want mm-hmm. that to be kind of your practice as you move forward.
Yep.
Danae agrees.
Yep.
Amazing.
All right.
Well,
Lisa,
we really appreciate you. Yeah. Coming on and voicing this. Cause again, even just coming out of COVID, I know this is something that so many people are struggling with. So I think this is going to be really helpful for people, and, you know, just email us, keep us posted. Let us know how you're doing.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Lisa.
Man, the number of times I think that we use the term liminal space in sessions with clients.
I mean, I think it makes sense though, right? Because people that are interested in having these conversations, doing this inner investigatory work, I think are often the people that we're talking to, and often the people that can be a little impatient with themselves in the process, right? Like, of when I am in the space of becoming, when I am not where I was, but I am not yet where I am feeling like I, quote, should be, or where I'm striving to get to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's so much. I don't know that I have words for it yet, but I've been trying to articulate this concept of why it is that societally, and maybe it's not societally, it might be a global thing, I'm not sure, but why it is societally, at least, that we do not allow ourselves to be in that in between. I think it's a human thing, right? Like, I think there's a biological kind of component to that. Like needing to know is like a very human thing to do. But I do feel like it's the same thing with death, right? Because when we talk about the liminal space, it is in that liminal space that there's actually a death of self. And then there's a rebirth of self. Yes. And there's so much about death, I think, so much larger, that we are not okay with. We don't look at. We're uncomfortable with it. We don't talk about it. We don't even acknowledge its reality. And I do think that it's all connected. Like, I'm starting to wonder if part of that, it's metaphorical death and physical death and all the death. Like, it just is something that we cannot tolerate. Yeah.
Well, and I think we've talked about this. I think that also is us transitioning from a collectivist culture to an individualistic culture, and that we used to have elders and space holders and people that explain to us in the process of the liminal space, this is what is happening to you, right? And anytime you're transitioning, like, even, you know, like, think about like the midwives or the people that hold space as you're transitioning out of this life. They are there for a very specific reason to help you to know that, like, what you're experiencing is okay, that you're gonna be okay on the other side of it. But I think, you know, there is a very natural human response to something that is other than what I have known up to this point, being like smacked in my face of like, I don't know how to tolerate the discomfort of the unknown, of the uncertainty, you know?
And no one told me that it was going to be this hard. No one told me it was going to be this uncomfortable, which is speaking like to what you're saying about, we don't really have these platforms anymore to process these in community, you know, these feelings, this discomfort in community. And so when you are on this path as a seeker, many times it can be a little lonely because it's not really condoned at a societal level to be on this inner journey. So I think it's even more important that we continue to make space for these conversations and connect with other people that are in the process so that we know that we're not alone and it looks similar to their experience and it helps us move through that phase, that space in our life.
Yeah, especially because we live in a society that is so obsessed with comparing our reality to other people's highlight reels, and everybody is in their own spaces of transition, their own struggles and evolution, but we're not talking about it. And, you know, I know that's like so much of why the two of us are like, let's talk about it. Let's be honest and hold space for one another, because it does feel so isolating to feel like I'm the only one struggling through this thing called being human, you know?
Right. So get into your body. That's all we can do. Get into your body, get out of your head and into your body.
Yeah.
You know?
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram at Vanessa S. Bennett
and at Danae Logan Selkin.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.